Help us to trust the sure foundation of You, not our feelings. Help us to know that even though we feel unloved, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Help us to know, Jesus, that You are with us. Help us to know that we can count on You to provide for us, Jehovah Jireh. So You provide. I pray for peace. I pray for power that we could stand against the devil. Help us to be armed for that battle with the armor that You tell us in the Bible that can be ours. So Jesus, help us to have the helmet of salvation, that is to know You and acknowledge that, and then have the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. So Jesus, help us to not be wimpy Christians that drop back. Help us to be on the offense and attack the devil. Let him not have any part of our lives. Help us to put him in his place. And today he's trying to defeat us by saying there is no hope. Jesus, may we counter that and say there is a hope. We are not a people that have no hope. We've got You, Jesus. You are the hope of our salvation. So we love You, Jesus. We ask You to bless this service. And it's in Your name I pray. Amen. Thank You for praying with me. And let me do something right there. I'm glad you're here today. We get to be blessed together as God speaks to us. I want to do a series on called Unshakable Hope. And so I'm going to give you a couple minutes to let hope sink in, because hope, what is it? We said this last week. We got to find hope in this. What kind of a world? It is a frazzled world. And if you look at the world, you'll think that what hope do we have? We've got plenty of hope. How many people think God can do anything He wants to? Then why doesn't He do what He wants to? Because we are His weakness. God would probably want to do so much more through me than I just sort of get in the way at times. You realize the devil tries to defeat us. We're not going to let him do that. And that's more than an emotion, though. So what comes to mind when you think of hope? Is hope something that we can have all the time? Is it just like a healing or a promise? Or is it a good feeling or something to look forward to? Has it been a while since you've enjoyed hope? If you're like me, some days I get up and think, oh, I got this to do and that to do. And God says, wait a minute, don't dread life. Don't dread things. Instead, you know that class that you think might be like, why don't you do this? And I go in and actually enjoy it. So He takes what I'm almost dreading and helps me to enjoy it. Has God ever done that to you? I'm dreading this. Well, that wasn't so bad. How about let's switch your attitudes and have a hopeful heart today. If this is you, you might feel like, I am without hope. No, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith and hope are sort of going together. I am going to have faith that Jesus will come back one day. How many people think He's going to come back? When could that day be? Today. I'm hoping for that. And so that's more than just a light hope. That's really believing in that. That is, I am hoping. My hope is secure. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. So when I trust in Jesus, I get hope, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to confound the world and they'll say, how come you are so hopeful? Because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. 1 Peter 1, 3-5 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. So, Chris, does that hope have a short life? No, that hope should be growing strong. Your hope ought to be like Jimmy. Jimmy was scooting along on the bottom, then he's scooting a little bit better, and then he takes a few steps, and now he's just going like this around the house. I mean, I look, and I'm thinking, that can't be Jimmy. He was only taking a few steps, and now he's just moving all over the place. So, I wish my hope was like that. It's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. We need hope today. Some of the lies that the devil has thrown at the world. When I was a little kid, I grew up, I went into high school, they found a book of matches in David Jackson's locker. Dave was this big tall block guy that we played basketball. Dave and I got to be good friends like in PE one time, you know. They didn't want to pick me. Was I the last one chosen? Well, we also shared a class with those varsity basketball boys who thought they were great. You know, they were a legend in their own mind. So they just thought they could beat anybody. And so David was pretty good. And they turned around and says, okay. David says, Edgar. And they probably looking like, why are you picking him? Now, it was sudden death, so whoever scores first wins. So David would get in the jump circle, tap it back to me, and I was standing at the goal, and I'd put it in. Coach Clark says, get off the court. They just now scored. And the varsity boys like, oh, you know, grumble over there. They came back. We beat them about six times like that. And I thought, well, until you guard. So they finally come down on me, and I'm thinking, I'm the low guy that you don't even want to choose on the team. Now you're double, you know, double teaming me. So David taps it to me. They come get me. I bounce it to him. He scores. Get off the court. After a while, Coach Clark, who's the varsity basketball coach, is actually fussing his guys like, y'all going to let them beat you all day? I said, it looks like it. And we were just hammering them. So suddenly, I think, hey, feel pretty good. You sort of gain confidence. The more victories you have. But they found matches in David's locker one day and took him to the office. Why? Thought he was going to. Matches are probably there because you're smoking. 4 years later, when I graduated from Giles, after I graduated from Giles, 4 years later, I'm teaching at Christiansburg High School. They come in, they toss their jackets on a big round table. I'm teaching business. At the end of the day, everybody gets their jacket and goes on out. Come over there and found a baggie. What's in that baggie? Marijuana. We went from matches to marijuana in 4 years. You think the devil's got a plan to take us down? Oh, yeah, he's more intense than the 9/11 folks. He's out to crash more than a plane. He wants to either keep you lost and spend hell in eternity with him, or he wants to keep you defeated without what? Hope. I tell you what, let's take him on. If he wants, because when he takes me on, who does he take on? Greater is he who is in me than he who is of the world. And I'm, you sound, gosh, sort of like audacious. No, it's faithful. So I say, so Bill, I'm going to look the devil in the face and say, you want to take me on? Come here, Jesus. And Jesus steps up and Satan cowers. Because Jesus, Genesis already said, what did he do to the serpent's head? He crushed it with his heel. Satan is already defeated. If I could tell my JV basketball team, and I did this one time down at Roanoke Valley, I said, what would you guys, we're like 13-1 or something. We're hammering people. I said, we're behind. We might lose. Wait. How would you play if I told you, I already knew the outcome, we're going to win this game. How would you play? And they said, we'd play with more confidence. We'd play with victory. We wouldn't be scared. We know the outcome. Right. So play that way. We won that game. How would I tell you right now if you already knew that we won the war? Would you feel better? We do. I've read the end of the book. We win. We'll be in heaven one day. I didn't know that. Yeah. Where would the devil be? In hell. He sends angels. Right now, what would the angels of heaven love to do to Satan? God, can I go lock him up? Can I go lock him up? Not yet. How would you like to be one of the angels that goes and gets Lucifer and throws him in the pit? By the way, God is so powerful and so strong, he doesn't even lock Satan up because Satan is an angel. Y'all do know that he's a fallen angel. It bothers me sometimes when people do this. God, Jesus is over here and Satan's over there and they're equal. Oh my, don't ever say that. Jesus is Almighty God. Satan is an angel created by God. Okay? So don't ever say that. So at the end of time, God doesn't even soil his hands. He says, angel, yes, sir. Go get Lucifer and throw him in the pit forever. So he wants to take you down. Don't let him take you down. I just don't feel very hopeful. We have a hope, a living hope, that's called Jesus. Well, but I can't make my car payment, or I stubbed my toe, or I got a toothache. I didn't say life would be what? Easy. I got a headache. I know somebody that got a nail drove through his wrist. How much would you complain if you were really sitting there beside Jesus? I didn't put it up here. Maybe I should have. When they were filming The Passion of the Christ, Jesus, Jim Caviezel, came off the set, and he's sitting there talking to Mel Gibson about some of the script. He's sitting there blooded, and got, you know, like this, thorns on his head, and he's talking to Mel Gibson. And sometimes I look at that picture and think, what if Jesus would do that with us? Sit down beside you and say, talk to me. Well, I was going to say I had a headache, but I don't think I want to say that. Talk to the bloody man sitting beside you that died for your sins, and you tell him you got a hangnail. When I coached football at Charlottesville, I had one ninth grader. The rest of them was eighth graders. I'm playing JV teams with an eighth grade team. needless to say, we lost a couple games that year. My ninth grader ran off the field one time. We were playing Auburn. He said, "Coach, I thought this better be good." "What?" "I got a headache a little bit." Get on the field. Everybody's got a headache. I don't carry aspirin. Here's your Band-Aid. Put that on your head and get on the field. And you compare that to a little eighth grader that come off. I said, "Jamie, what are you doing?" Jamie Harris, still remember. I said, "Jamie, what are you doing?" He made me get off the field. "Who? Who told you?" "Oh, the referee? I got you." "What?" He said, "Look, his fingernail is about half torn back because he caught it on a helmet. It's dripping blood." He said, "I didn't want to come off, but he made me." I said, "Well, Jamie, I always have that good coach look. I look at it inside. I'm going, ow, that would hurt." I say, "Wow, that, Jamie, I'm going to press that back down. I'm going to put tape around. I got to send you back. But it's really, it's going to be hard to tape because really your nail down in there, it's sort of in the way." He went, "It's not in the way now, is it?" I went, "No, it's not, Jamie." Excuse me, just back up. You know, it's like, where do you find boys like that? He tore the rest of his fingernail off. He's like, "Tape it up, coach. All right, I'm going to get back in there now. You do everything, whatever you want to do." So I got one boy complained about a headache, and one tears his finger half off to get back in the game play. Which one are you? What do we do with Jesus? Jesus, sorry. So should we be tougher? Quit wishing. This is going to be good or get good soon. I'm going to be okay. No, don't have a false optimism. I wish I could be better at Christian, being a Christian. I hope I can. Here's wishing. Often we're wishy-washy. "Well, I wish I could be better." You reading the Bible? Nope. Praying? Nope. So you're just wishing for something, but you're not putting feet on your prayers. Optimism. "Oh, this is fine. Everything's going to be good." You ever heard that in the movies? Guy's been shot right here, bullet went through. "You're going to be okay." No, you're not. Everything's going to be all right. No, it's not. You're lying. The guy dies while you're talking to him. Well, if death was okay, I guess he is okay. So we're like that as Christians. How you doing in your walk? You know, really struggling. Pray for me. I love that. Brethren, "Oh, I'm doing great." Really? "Yeah, I'm good." You're like this guy sitting in the middle of flames. "I'm good." How sad. That's a false or that's an unfounded hope. So I'm going to ask you, here's my hope. My hope is stable. My hope is secure. And my hope is this. He is going to call me home one day. Now, it might be that we're all together if we're still alive, and that's called a trump. "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound in time, shall be no more." He might call us home today. So I've got you a question. Some people have a negative outlook. Some people have a positive outlook. At least they're more positive. Some people wish they could have them. Some people hope. The thing about it is, these are eternal pessimists. You ever found that? These are the kind of people I'm walking down the road, and I wish I had money, I wish I had $100, I wish I had $100 here. I wish I had $200. I wish I had $200. You know, they're just never satisfied. Never satisfied. And then you got these people. These folks can actually be delusional. "How you doing?" "Doing great." You do realize your bone's sticking through your skin, right? "Yep, but I'm good." Come on. "I'm going to be okay." You ever been around people coughing, by the way, at work like that? You know, I've had a cold too, but I mean, I wish I've had students come in. You know, it sounds like a cough up a lung. "I'm good." No, you're not. Jenny says she's got kids that they'll walk into the school and say this, "Mom said to call her if I didn't feel good." Susan, how long do they wait before they call Mom? They walk in the school door. "I'm sick." You know, and the nurse just go right to the office. "Mom's still in the driveway. Wait, we're going to call you and get you." I mean, Jenny says she has kids like it all the time. Some people wish. We can wish all we want, but we got to work for a plan. "Sure wish I could lose weight." Well, then why are you eating that full turkey? You know, I mean, why are you eating two Subway sandwiches for lunch? "Sure wish I could lose weight." How about this? This hope must be in Jesus, our solid and secure source of hope. So wishing, maybe I can be good enough for God to love me. You already are good enough for God to love you. Why? Because you're made in His image. Don't forget that. You're made in His image. Optimism. If I do good things and just do my best, that's the Pharisees. We're going to work our way to heaven. No, you can't do that. How about this? No matter what happens in life, Jesus is right with God. And if I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me, I get God's righteousness. He gets my sins. That's not an even trade. So you mean I've got the same hope? How many people think Jesus is going to be in heaven when we die? Well, if you're in Jesus, you'll be there too. I didn't know.
Really?
Yeah. Jesus is bigger than that. He loves me. He's overcome the world. The best is yet to come. So we've got an unshakable hope. We've got an unshakable hope that we can count on. Are we made in God's image? Yes, we are. Unshakable hope. Reasons for an unshakable hope. I'm going to throw them up there for you. Do you want to write them down? Here's the reasons for my unshakable hope. Here's the reasons for an unshakable hope. We are made in God's image. How many people believe that? Now, I'm not going to raise you. Not my point to embarrass anybody. But if you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, well, I'll pick on Mark because he's up front. Mark, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? You know you're forgiven? You know you're going to heaven? Can I talk you out of that? See, that's an unshakable hope. Now, I'm not going to go around a room and ask everybody, do you know you're going to heaven? Do you have Jesus? But we could debate, well, I think I'm saved. I might have been saved. Well, I was baptized as a little boy. Got nothing to do with knowing Jesus as Savior. But I can ask you this. Nobody in this room can escape this. Do you think you're made in God's image? Yeah. And see, I like a surety that nobody can, you know, if you're right there, you can weasel out of something. If you can't weasel out of this, we're all made to look like God. God made us in His image. Matter of fact, let me give you a thought. How many people have ever had a penny in their pocket like this, and it doesn't look like that? Trish, why? What's the difference between the top and the bottom? Now listen, we are made in God's image. For just a moment, I'm going to make this, instead of God's image, I'm going to put, whose image is this? Abraham Lincoln. I can't see Abe because of the dirt and the grime and the... all of mankind are made in God's image. We're sort of like this. Trouble is, the dirt gets on us. Now, we all are equal in that fact that we're all made in God's image. But then we become what we might call, for lack of, you know, when dirt covers us, what do we call? We're called sinners. And so we say, Jesus, would you clean the dirt up from me? Would you forgive me of my sins, cleanse my life? And when we ask Jesus to forgive us and cleanse us, the dirt goes away, and what will people see? They will see God's image, which is what we're made in anyway. See, God had a plan. I'm going to make you just like me, Edgar, and you can go tell the world. And I mess things up, and we all do, and we become, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 says. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned into his own way. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's no shiny pennies. We all are sinners. But glory be to God. God can, He can come along, and He can shine us up, and that's me and you in this world. It's one positive thing you can look at. You don't have to do a whole lot to be a witness in today's world, do you? It is so in lack of hope, you can bow your head at Hardee's to pray before your meal and people come up, what are you doing? Jennifer said that, you know, let me pray for you. What are you doing? Just praying for you. By the way, when I was a little kid, that was not so much out of the ordinary. Today it is. And you got people so confused. You're made in God's image. You got people today don't even know what sex they are. Isn't it weird that the devil, I just want to smack him in the face. Because some of my people I know are students I know. You know, and it's easy to get emotional. It's like, ugh. I remember a few years ago, my niece Rachel now, she's in the 9th grade. She's in high school. But I know, I would say, how many people know Rachel? She'd bounce in the door. We had a homeless man come in one time around Thanksgiving, had a rain slicker on, and truth be known, he might not smell the greatest. And I said, this is a part of our service. I said, turn and greet those around you. Rachel turns from right there and makes a beeline for that man. Gives him a big hug. That's the Rachel I'm used to seeing. And then she enters junior high, and she'd come home one day, sort of sad, and Mount East tell me, and I pray, and that was several years ago. But anyway, am I this or am I that? And then you go through those that you want to wear a baggy sweatshirt because you're probably embarrassed. You know, Susan, you know, you have your teacher, you see kids in the class, they probably think, is my body changing? All kids change. We look back now and we understand, but then they thought, well, am I pretty? Am I handsome? Am I ugly? My friends say I'm not this and that. You start believing it. Who are those lies from? The devil. Next thing you know, gosh, I'm just defeated. And so they just sort of believe that. And the next thing you know, well, maybe I'm not. Matter of fact, some young people in today's world, they'll actually believe the lie that I'm not even good enough to what? Might as well just walk out of this world. Nobody loves me. God loves you. I don't feel too good. God loves you. Well, I'm ugly. Not in God's eyes. I'm unworthy. God can make you worthy. And the liar, the deceiver, father of lies. Matter of fact, Bill, I don't even know if you're supposed to be a man. Maybe you're the one. And if a teenager starts thinking that, you know better. But when you're 15 or 16 or when you're 17, you start thinking, well, maybe I'm weird. Do I need to join a motorcycle gang? Do I need to... I worked at William Byrd over 25 years ago, and they said, we really want you to work mainly with this guy because he's really got some problems. For a while, he thought he wanted to join a motorcycle gang. Toughness. Yeah, I'm going to beat everybody up. Can't beat everybody up, okay? Because if you beat them up, I'm going to beat you up. You know, no, I didn't say that. But I was just like, you got to quit acting like you're tough. Then he went through the next one. He thought he was gay for a year, you know. Now he went through and thought, well, maybe I'm this. What's he doing, by the way? Same thing you do when you lose something at the house. What are you doing? He's searching. Am I tough? Am I this? Am I that? What am I doing? And the devil just, yeah. And I was helping in a class. I'd be like a teacher's aide. I was helping in that class one time, and the teacher said, I'm going to go down to the office. I'm going to cover this next session in literature. I know you like this, biblical literature. You want to teach that? The teacher left me in the room along with him to teach Bible. Welcome to William Byrd. Locked the door. And I told him about God's love and how God sent his son Jesus and how Jesus can save you. You can't do that. Too late I did. And Josh back there thinks, maybe there is something to life. Of course, there's this boy on the front row dressed totally in black, trench coat down to there, white, black, you know, I guess. You know who his hero is? Marilyn Manson. And so when I started talking, I said, you know, God's own son. Well, how do you know that? You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And I said, so who are you? We all represent somebody because we're made in God's what? Image, but we can represent many people. Now, I'm made in God's image, I can represent God. That boy was made in God's image, true or false? He was made in that. But he chose to represent somebody else because maybe he found something there that... And I said, you do realize Marilyn Manson claims to be Jesus, and that's not true because there's only one Son of God. He started gritting his teeth. Matter of fact, if somebody would have told me, he may even be what? Wouldn't have surprised me. Because the more I talk about God, the more angry he got. God loves you anyway. Just pour that love and grace there. He hated me. I don't like it. Just because you don't like that, it's still true. See, God said it. Somebody said this a long time. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Really, God said it and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. He got angry. You could just... God still loves you. That's called a spiritual what? Battle. Because you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. There's darkness. He didn't like that. I am made in God's image. We might, occasionally, we get two or three pennies like this together, and we call it church. You need church. You need to be here every week. I'm glad you're here. Otherwise, we're in that world and it gets tough. This is heaven, by the way. Does that give you hope? You mean one day we're all going to be shiny? In God's image, the Bible says, when I see Him, I will be like Him. Let that encourage you tomorrow when you feel like, this guy I'm working with, I'm just going to push him out the window. No, don't do that. Don't do it. Find your hope in Jesus. Well, you mean one day? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Our trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So let us run the race till we see Him. Sort of summarizes my life. God has a plan for each of our individual lives. Let's just say true or false. Uh-oh, pop quiz by Mr. Moser, the Bible teacher. How many people think we're made in God's image? Come on now. God has a plan for each of our individual lives. Yeah, He didn't say, I'm going to make Karen and, well, Karen, you just go do it. But everybody else got a plan. He didn't do that. Everybody in here has got a plan. You just need to find it. God will help us live His plan He has for us. God loves us, will forgive us, and live in us. God will give us strength to daily live for Him. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. God gives us hope today and a hope for the future. God wants the very best for us, but we must trust Him, or else it's going to be a false hope. It's going to be that optimistic guy sitting in flames and going, hey, I'm high. No, you're not. Trust Jesus both as Savior and Lord. Now, there's a difference. If I trust Christ as Savior, some people think, well, that's the same. Actually, I've seen people that know Jesus, but they sure don't have Him as the Lord in their life. Because you'd never know they were a Christian. If you had the x-ray machine, spiritual x-ray, turns out they are a Christian, but you wouldn't tell that they were. How do you know that? Because I was that guy. When I was in high school, you wouldn't have known I was a Christian. James says that even the demons in hell believe in God. When Jesus stepped upon the, you know, there's the platform. Not really, it's the ground He's on. But I mean, here's the stage. He's going to preach a message, and He's going to cast demons out of this man. And the demons called out and said, "Oh, Son of God," what did He just tell you right there? They know who Jesus is. "Oh, Son of God, if you come to torture us before the appointed time," what's the appointed time? That's hell. So right here's demons that believe in God and believe in hell. You think they're going to be in heaven? Oh no. They got more faith than a lot of people on earth. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in hell. Demons do. Why does the demons know that? Because that's their final destination. They know that. And that time is going to draw nigh. So we are made in God's image. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Genesis 1:4. We're made to look like God. Doesn't this give you hope that you look like God? When I was growing up, I don't know if I looked exactly, but the older I get, I'll go to a Giles football game every once in a while, and somebody will come up and say, "You look like your daddy." I say, "Thank you now." Remember in high school, you're too cool to look like your daddy. But if somebody said, "You look like your dad," thank you. Looks just like your daddy. You ever heard that? You know? Got that little cow licked all of mine off. But anyway, I got... My Granny Reed used to tell me, she said, "You got a double crown bucker. You got a double Kelly. You could part your hair either way." It's now doing the Red Sea. You know, it's parted and you look like your mama. Thank you. God has a plan for you. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future." Does it give you hope that God has a plan for you? Don't you love plans? Susan, how would you teach class tomorrow if you didn't have a lesson plan? I've seen teachers like that, by the way. They're over there just playing the guitar, kids sitting around, look like Woodstock. I mean, golly, I walk by their room, it's like, and that's their favorite teacher. You know why? Teacher never makes them do anything. They come into me, get your folder, sit down, put your phone in the pocket over there. I want you to be quiet. At the end of the year, thanks for helping me be organized. Thanks for helping me to take notes. So you're going to have to take notes and be organized the rest of your life. So I'm trying to give them some things that will... A plan. God's our refuge and our strength. God will help us live the plan He wants us to have. Does it give you hope to know God will help us? It does me. Lord, I need some help. And Psalmist David says, "I'll look unto the hills from whence cometh my help." Now, what kind of hills do you think David saw? When we're talking about Israel, he probably got a little hump. I wonder what David would feel like if he looked at the Rockies. How about the mountains of Virginia? David would go, wow. I wonder why David got hope when he looked at a mountain. Because who made the mountain? God, that mountain's bigger than anything I ever did, and you made that mountain. God will love us, forgive us, and live in us if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. He's promised if you call on Him, He'll forgive you. If you don't, no, it's just a fake hope. It's a false hope. Does it give you hope to know God loves you, forgive you, and will live in you? Does it give you hope to know God will strengthen you, Philippians 4:13? Does it give you hope that God wants you to be hopeful today and tomorrow? And finally this, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. If you just call on Him, I will let you see my plan. Now, if you stick close, I'll give you one final, a final example here. If you're looking at that and you say, I feel like that in the world, but at least you're going to be the shining light for a lot of people. And hopefully that's going to be us the more we get together. So I'm trying to encourage you. But let me give you one final thought then. If I know, if my daddy, and which he did, he would tell me, I'm going to come pick you up from school at this certain amount of time. Okay. And cars would come and go and this and that, but finally my daddy would pull in. Was I worried that he would show up? He said he'd come. I can trust him. Those people that, I don't know, they start worrying and wondering, would it help to know that he's told you, I'll be with you? Okay. Now you might not be able to count on people all the time, and you might have had some people let you down in this life. Don't give that to God. Well, I wonder if God's going to hold true. Look at these words. Chris, can you find that song there at the end? Chris is going to give me a song, and I just want to listen to a few minutes of it. But I put up the words. You don't necessarily have to see the guy. Phil Wickham is singing it. But we do this about every week in chapel down at Roanoke Valley because the theme down there this school year is hope. And so I want you to see the words and listen to the music and see if this blesses you. So sort of like let God soak it into you.